DJ Event Planner will change the way you manage and run your business. Streamline all of your procedures and software into one easy-to-manage system. DJ Event Planner, the ultimate online planning tool.
We are here for our live DJ hangout tonight. Tonight is Tuesday night, January something or other, 30th, I think it is. So if you're watching this later on YouTube or on Facebook, this is a night where we basically open it up. You can come on in and hang out with us on our Zoom chat. And of course, it's being broadcast to the other channels so that people can catch it a little bit later. If there's something that we talk about that's intelligent, we want to have proof of our intelligence because there isn't much of it in this world. So tonight, my guest is Brandon Havrilla. Good evening, Brandon.
Good evening, John. How are you?
I am doing well, doing very, very well. Brandon and I are going to basically be kind of bouncing back and forth, answering questions, and people have thoughts and such. The Zoom link is in the descriptions. You can go and click on that and join us in the chat room and such. We've got Dave here who's with us there, and Ian and Randy are in the chat room right now. And again, you guys can, as far as on Zoom, more of you can jump in there if you want to, or if you're watching it on YouTube, you can see us there, and I'll try to follow that chat room if you've got some questions and such. So there, it was frozen. So Brandon, we just finished up with NAMM, and I don't know, how much did you get to follow NAMM this year?
I followed it as much as I could. I would have liked to have been there, actually. But hopefully NAMM this next year, maybe even Summer NAMM and Mobile Beat and all that. Hopefully this will be the year I'll be able to, catch some of those. But I did follow a lot of Facebook videos from like IDJ Now, you, Brian Red. So I did follow a lot of videos of people that were posting stuff, DJ Bar, stuff like that.
Yeah.
There was some really cool stuff. I followed NAMM for a few years now. And I have to say, from what I could see in the videos, it was probably one of the better NAMMs that I've seen, as far as products and information and stuff like that. I saw some really cool, unique products come out. Some of them that I was really impressed with. But what'd you think from being there?
It was definitely good. I liked it that they had organized things a little bit better, where they had the speaker companies kind of in one spot. They had the lighting companies in one spot. So really the DJ areas, I didn't have to go walking and going and hitting a booth here and a booth here. It was really organized much better than they had in the past. That went as far as to even downstairs. So that was really kind of nice. There were a few new things that were kind of cool at this year's NAMM. Generally, most of the time, I know pretty much of what's coming out, and there aren't too many surprises, or what is released is like, yeah, that's neat, but it isn't a whoa. That's kind of like, yeah, Taking it to a new level. And this year there were a couple of items out there that really did take it to what's going to really, I think, reshape some of the things we do as DJs as we go forward.
Right.
So that it was good. It was a good show.
Yeah, there were a lot of items like that I saw, and after seeing them in the videos, the ideas there, they look really cool and they look groundbreaking, but I don't think that they're going to be the actual bestsellers, if that makes sense. I think they still need some improvement. And I think that some things are going to change because some of the technology that was released was so new that I think a lot of the consumers didn't get to give their input yet. So the manufacturers didn't get to make changes and adjust the stuff to the way the consumers want it. So there's a lot of cool products out there. Stuff like the Design Series Video Wall is really cool. Yeah. I know video walls are huge in my area. And to be able to take that and spell out like the mitzvah girl or boy's name or the sweet 16 girl's name kind of thing with the video wall and put graphics across it is really cool. There were a few other things.
You mentioned video wall, and I was actually somewhat surprised that we didn't see more of the video wall. And I don't know if you had a chance to see, let's talk specifically ADJ's booth. They had a beautiful booth and they're using some of their video wall. And I was really kind of, they were using it more for the ambient type video effect where they would have, you know, like red kind of sweep out from the inside lights. And they did that pixel mapping basically across the video wall. And I was really hoping that they were going to do some more cool things with that, the video wall there. But if you take away Chauvet and ADJ's video wall, I don't know if I really saw maybe two or three more, and that was it. It was surprisingly low. I expected to see many, many more, but you just didn't see as many video walls as I expected. But then LDI in November in Vegas. I mean, that's the home of the video wall. If you've ever watched some of the videos, I mean, it's like everywhere you turn, there's somebody else with another, you know, seven pixel.
Right. Yeah, I was actually just talking about video walls with someone locally, a dealer actually, and he shared some information with me, and I think that might be part of the reason there wasn't as much video walls there. But video walls now are being made and sold so cheap directly from China.
Yes.
And he showed me some side-by-side images, and they're almost exactly the same as some of the ones that are out there. So a panel that's selling for $2,000 from ADJ or Chauvet, you can get for like $600 direct from China. So all these dealers, at least by me, are starting to sell that China stuff, and they're buying it in bulk and they're getting replacement parts and stuff for it so that they can service it right there. And they're selling that way.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of the reason that, you know, a lot of the other companies aren't even bothering to push that now, because, you know, when they're with their quality control and stuff like ADJ and Chauvet, they can only go so low with the price. Whereas, you know, China has a little more leeway.
Dave, turn your mic on. I want to get your thoughts on this. This is a big discussion and a big thing that we're working on or talking about is that these Chinese companies are direct selling to DJs. What are your feelings as far as, would you have some questions or reservations in buying something if it was incredibly cheaper, you know, from doing it directly from a Chinese company?
Well, John, I used to work for a Japanese company, and we had a lot of manufacturers in China. Mm-hmm. So I got a little bit of inside information when I used to work there. A lot of the stuff they would get, I mean, the factories would be the same as the ones Chauvet might be using, except the badging is different, right? The slap whoever badge on, because some of it might be third party. So it's kind of hard. When you buy from China, you get no support.
Yeah.
When you buy from Chauvet, you get a support. So quite possible that you know, when you want something of quality, you have to go with the company that's going to give you the support, because those guys in China, they'll just say, oh, I just send it back. We'll send you another one. Or, yeah, we'll give you your money back, because they don't have any support here. They have nothing. They just have maybe a holding warehouse. They bring it in, and it's broken. Yeah, okay. Maybe we can send you another one if we have more. Oh, wait. No, we have to wait for another shipment from China. The boat's late.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, I mean, it's enticing to say, yeah, I would love to get something cheap, you know, and it works, it's quality. I've seen people say, yeah, it's the same thing I've got. It's great. And somebody goes, Well, you know, I was lucky. I just opened it and found out, oh, look, there's a wire that's not soldered right.
Yeah.
Better solder that, or otherwise I'll short out something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen that. I mean, working for a large consumer electronic company like I did, yeah, we used to see all sorts of little things like that. And it was in our own factories. We'd get some in, you know, maybe our factory in China. And, yeah, sometimes some things weren't soldered right. You had to re-solder them. The guy would open it up and go, uh-oh, yeah, he missed the wire. It happens.
Yeah. Well,
yep, to go off that, Ian just put in the group, he said, who needs quality control when the price is cheap enough to toss out the broken one or use it as spare parts? And that's right on too. I hear that from a lot of people with, even with like Chinese moving heads and stuff, you know, it's like, oh, well, wouldn't you rather have the peace of mind that it's going to work and that you have a warranty and stuff and pay a little more for Chauvet or an ADJ light? But some people would rather just buy four of the Chinese ones for the same price as two of the other ones. And if one stops working, they still have three working ones.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's going to become a big issue, I think, as the manufacturers are trying to, you know, stay relevant, really. You know, the ADJ and Chauvet, they're trying to do their thing. And I go, you know, two aisles over where there was a string of Chinese companies that were offering direct sales. And so these little moving lights, the little, about the size of the ADJ Inno series lights, mm-hmm. $10 a piece. $10 a piece is what they were. They would give you a deal if you took their demos; they'd sell them to you for $8. But if you did $10, they're $10 a piece, and then shipping to get them here. And if they wanted to do, of course, them by obviously by container, but it was pallets of those would be next. And I think someone had, I heard them talking. And they were saying $500 shipping. So I'm guessing $500 shipping to get whatever the size it was. Because, you know, you're hearing different conversations going as you're going from booth to booth. But, yeah, these little tiny lights. And there's some of them that were very cool. They had some technology and some features that were surpassing some of the things that we've seen so far, which means that in about a year or so, we're going to see that technology from the major companies. But how in the world they're going to be able to compete and continue down the road when you have such an aggressive market in China that will sell direct. I mean, you go to Amazon right now and you look up moving head fixtures. You can buy any number of moving head fixtures on Amazon for under $100, and it just floors me. I just don't know. You know, the customer service and such is a great thing, and them having some of the programs, and as Nick Aris has talked about, some of the safety capabilities that are built in. But will the average DJ care, or will they buy six to have four?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got to also check to make sure you have the CSA and UL stickers on them, because sometimes, you know, they'll try to slip those through, you know, and say, well, it's pending. Yeah, if it's not on, I don't want it. Obviously, no one's here is checked to make sure it meets the standards. So, yeah, careful of that too. You know, they might say, oh, it's pending, it's coming. But,
yeah. You know, Howie just mentioned in the chat room that, you know, there's some of those lights have got plastic gears, and I'm sure there's many a corners that have been cut to make sure to get that price point, because they're trying to sell multiple fixtures. I mean, they want to sell 12 to get 8, kind of a thing. And knowing that it's a disposable world right now, which is really unfortunate.
It sucks. It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. You know, stuff that we used to fix years ago, let's say, case in point, you get a cordless phone that costs you almost $200 and you would fix it. Now you can buy like 8 phones, you know, cordless for that price, maybe even more. Like, I mean, you know, $80, you can get like, you know, 4 phones or 5 phones, right? And that time it was one phone for $200. So, yeah, things have changed.
Yep.
Yeah. Stanley mentions in the chat here that I had a couple of uplights that were direct China lights, and the wires, they had reversed them. But that's, and I know a lot of DJs who have done that. Brandon, you were mentioning, of course, with some of these light panels that they can buy them. They can buy them. Guys, if you turn cameras on. I don't have your cameras. I'm not turning them on. If you guys want to turn cameras on and such, you guys have got the control of that. Dance floor, lighted dance floor was something that was actually kind of an interesting thing at this show. I was talking to one dealer. Hey, there he is. Hey, Bar.
DJ Bar, what's up?
What's up, guys?
Hey, we'll have one of the men that were there covering the show. Awesome, awesome. But the lighted dance floor. Bar, did you get to see some of those lighted dance floors?
You know what? I did. I saw one that was in that oval room.
Yep.
But I honestly didn't even take a second look at it. I just stepped on it and walked past it.
Yeah. Yeah. They had two of them in the oval room. One was black that had like every 4 inches in a pattern. It had an LED that would change color, red, green, blue. Then they had a second one that was about a 2-foot by 2-foot square that was mirror. If you saw my Instagram video, you saw.
Yeah, that one was cool. That's the one I stepped on. It's like infinity. Like you would look down at it and you would see like a million of yourself.
Exactly. And I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, okay, so this would be a really popular dance floor at a prom because you would have the little teenage boys taking the girls out on the dance floor and stand over. Yeah, because there's a little bit of uplighting coming from this dance floor. And you know that teenage boys are going to do that.
Yeah. I think one of my friends cracked the joke. He was like, oh, I'm glad I'm not wearing my kilt today.
Precisely. Otherwise, I'm going to have – I was going to sit here. But the dance floor prices, they ranged. And my friend who does – he buys gear and he does a lot of teen dances. He was talking to him. And I want to say that he got that down. And those delivered to him, I want to say $40 a piece. For those 2x2 squares delivered.
And those were all Chinese, right?
None of the Chinese coming here. Okay. So then another guy was talking and he was saying that you can find on Amazon and Jimmy, maybe Jimmy who's with us tonight has checked this out, but he was saying you can actually find Chinese dance floors on Amazon cheaper.
Than 40.
I couldn't believe that.
Yeah. I mean, $40 actually doesn't sound too bad because I was thinking they were way more than that. What are the margins on that? Like, how do people even sell that? I mean, that sounds like a tough sale.
Yeah. Well, here, just you got a company here that's selling 8 pieces for $200, so $25 a piece. Wedding DJ LED dance floor. So how does a company like an ADJ or Chauvet that decides that, hey, you know what, we could do this. They can't compete because of the overhead. Yeah, here's in essence, 1,000 square feet can't be that big, but yeah, they're there. Wow, I didn't realize that they're how much Amazon has really dominated to a point in that lower end of the market. Crazy.
That's insane.
Yeah. I think
what is like the end cost for like let's say for like a service charge, like what would you charge somebody for that?
I've got a couple of friends who have some that they purchased from wherever, and I know they spent a lot more than that. And they're somewhere between $500 and $2,000 depending upon where it is and what they're having to do with it. A typical, I believe they're kind of regular, like a 16x16. I want to say he was somewhere in that, $800 to $1,000 for that for most weddings. And there are people who've purchased that and absolutely love it. And it is a cool effect.
Yeah.
But,
it's a cool effect, but I don't know. It sounds like a hassle.
Yeah. And that's, I get to that point too. Yeah. Yeah. It's more setup, more of this, more of that. Yeah. Just reading what Ian said. And I get to the point now where it's like, okay, so uplighting is all this. And, you know, the photo booth thing that we've talked about in the past, you know, doing a big photo booth, all that. And it gets to the point, it's like, okay, how much more do I really make by adding these things? Am I making nickels? And if I'm making nickels for all that extra work and I'm not getting, why bother? And maybe that's just me being old and crotchety as I progress, but it's like,
but definitely the biggest thing that's coming from China is the uplights. Just because uplighting is, you need so many, and just like if you buy like an ADJ or Chauvet light, it adds up when you're buying them at like $350 a pop versus the $150 each.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like the biggest complaint I get from my friends. Oh, it's like, oh, you know, those uplights that you're recommending are like $350, where I can get, you know, 20 of them for like $2,000 or something like
that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Did you? That's what's tough to compete with the uplighting, where things that people want, because uplighting is so popular right now. But It's just like if you want to do it legit with like legit uplights, it's very expensive. Like I found it myself. Like I've been little by little just buying a couple of Element Hexes, and they're pricey, man. I have to admit they're not cheap.
Yeah, yeah. And I looked at the Element that was also. I thought that. Yeah, I mean, I'm a fan of hex lights to begin with, so that would be the way I would have to go. And you start looking at that, and it's like, oh, you know what? I can run cords with my 5P hexes for a while. I'd be better off if I, because I have 24 of those right now, and if I need to have a 20 light setup, that only leaves me 4 to use, you know, in my DJ show. I'd be better off buying something different for my or additional ones or something, because the wireless ones are great and they're fabulous. But oh, to go and buy 20 of those, I wouldn't pay that off. It would take me 5 or 6 years to pay off a 20 battery uplights.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah, I have 12 of the Freedom Power hexes.
Yeah.
And I mean that alone was a pricey investment, but it's just the peace of mind. I mean, I've worked with a lot of guys with the Chinese uplights and they put them around the room and they have to go out to one of those uplights to change the color back because it didn't stay on one color or whatever.
Yep.
You know, throughout the night. And it's just I'd rather stay behind the booth and let them do their thing. But
that, speaking of the Freedom lights, that H1, I think it's H1, the new, the pins, the spot version, that looks like that's going to be probably one of the coolest little lights from Chauvet in 2018, because that little fixture could be used as a tiny uplight, which what sucks about that is that somebody could easily pick it up and put it in their pocket because it's that small. But
yeah, those are cool looking. I took a look at those.
Yeah.
But they're meant to be used as pin spots, but...
Yeah, I didn't. I don't know if
you were just wondering. Pin spotting is kind of hard to do. Like sometimes you don't have access to the ceiling.
For sure. Yeah, and that's. I was looking at that, and I thought because I had some of the pin spot, a case of the were they the easy pins?
Yeah, the easy pins
was ahead of it. Pins, yeah. And I loved them, but all I was using them for was for using spotlighting as far as like the a front fill for my speakers when we did our DJ events. So I gave the pack to a friend of mine because it's like. I don't have any use for them because at my weddings, I just don't do that. But these little H1, they look cool because you can take that bracket off, and it has feet under it, so it's literally a mini version of the Freedom. I mean, that's what it is, and it's completely wireless, and it's got, I think he said, an 8 or 10 hour battery life. It's like, oh my gosh, what a cool little light. The biggest concern I would have again is somebody picking it up and putting it in their pocket and being out the door before you could catch them.
What was it? That was RGB or it was a hex or what?
I think it's hex.
Hex, yeah.
I think
it was hex.
Yeah. I think they were hex. They're an impressive thing, and you can get a pack of four for
$600.
Yeah, I was going to say somewhere between
with
five
the case
and
with the charging and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's now you're getting to something that for an average room of 12-foot ceilings or less, this could be your uplights around the room, and they're all wirelessly controlled, so you can do your thing. Now, if you're going to need a higher, you know, more power, then you're going to have to look at the Freedom or the Element series because you just need more horsepower. Or, you know, I've got the one I have back here from the Mixer companies. They've got, you know, there's different companies that have these things, and it depends where a person's going to go. But there was also a company, Bar, if you right next to that company that had that dance floor, there was a little lighting company. Did you see their version of the? They had a knockoff of the Freedom or the Element, but it was half the height.
Yeah. So apparently the story with that light, because we actually stopped there because my friend, he owns those lights. I forget the name of that company, but my friend has those lights, and apparently they're like legit now. They're like a legit company, but they were a company that was like a China-based company, but. Those lights, he originally bought them for, I think, $150 a pop, and now they're $250 a pop because they got so popular. And it is true. Those lights, I see a lot of guys with those lights in general.
Yeah.
I think they're Russia Professional.
Yeah, there we
go.
Russia.
That's,
yeah.
Like, the most popular, like, knockoff. It's not even a knockoff now because so many people have them. I guess they're going legit because they were at NAMM, and NAMM is not – I mean, it's not cheap to go there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and Russia's been there. That booth has been, I think, this is at least their third year, and possibly even longer than that. And but yeah.
So my friend said that he has those and he loves them, but Yeah, they had a cool one. You know, they had the charging case similar to a company that I work with, Ape Labs. They have the charging built into the case, which is pretty cool. I like that in uplights.
You did a nice demo on that one. I like that Ape Lab demo you did. It was good.
Yeah, I love those uplights. But they're pricey. Again, I want to get another set of those, but they're just, you know, these uplights are not cheap unless you go knockoff. And then.
And then, yeah, then a guy.
And then you go knockoff.
Canada. Yeah, they're right up there with the elements. Those are 350 a pop too.
Mm-hmm.
But the battery life on those is that's why I love them. The battery life on those is like 17 hours. I bring them to like 4 or 5 gigs in a row and they don't die.
Nice.
Yeah, it's insane. I love those lights.
Very, very nice. Just checking here. Yeah, Ian mentioned that Rasha has been in the U.S. U.S. company for 3 years, so that must have been about the first time I saw him. Then was 3 years ago.
Yeah, but that light. If you guys see that light, like everybody in the chat, if you guys see it, you'll know it right off the bat because so many people have that square up light with all the diodes because I think they're one of the few people that puts that many diodes in an up light. There's like
17 or something like that. Are they in like a diamond shape? Is that what it is? Yeah,
exactly. That's okay. The one. They're the white diamond shaped ones. Everybody has those.
I've seen those.
Uplight, yeah.
Yep. Did you guys see any LED like robots and stuff of that nature in there?
Not this year.
No, okay. I didn't see any robots.
Yeah.
I know that's becoming popular, especially in the Latin market. That's becoming popular.
By us. There's a lot in like Connecticut and Long Island, stuff like that.
Explain what you guys are referring to by that, because in Minnesota, I've seen them in Vegas. So I'm assuming that's what you're referring to is what I've seen in Vegas. But explain a little bit for those who may not know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so it's basically a person on stilts, usually. And it's kind of like a black fabric costume that they put on with basically different LED strips. And then there's usually a mask too, that's got LEDs all over it and it's all synced and it kind of goes in like a sound active mode, to the music. And they'll walk around with CO2 cannons and CO2 guns and stuff like that. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Wow, never seen that.
They'll pump up a party, Sweet 16, stuff like that. They'll go onto the dance floor. You usually rent them for like the hour. They'll walk in, go on the dance floor for an hour, and then they're done. Get paid $600, something like that. So,
wow. Yeah, I've seen there have been variations of that. That if you're on the Fremont Experience in Vegas on a nice day, there are some people that dress up and do the LED robot thing, and you can go and they do their thing, and then they will take a picture with you. And you know, it's right next to the guy in a diaper, the girl in a Wonder Woman costume, and the guy who's wearing a Spider-Man outfit but has stuffed his shorts, if you know what I'm saying. It's all in that same area. Yay, rah-rah Vegas. So, Bar, what did you get a chance to hear for sound systems and such? Because there's a lot of stuff there. Anything jump out at you there? Nope, you must be muted. We lost your mic. Check and see.
There you go.
Can you hear me now?
There you are. Yep. Good. Do we lose you?
I don't know.
Bar, we lost you again.
You're gone again.
Must be a bad connection there. Yeah, nothing yet.
Yeah, the big thing that stood out was the phase thing. Everybody was surrounding that. That was like the big talk.
Yeah, that's the records, right? Without the needles.
Exactly. That everybody was going nuts for that.
It was. I think it was like either they loved it or they absolutely hated it. Hated it to the point that they wanted to beat someone. and that was the darndest thing. There were guys that are watching them up at the the Rain booth that was in the hallway, because Rain had their hallway booth, and then they had their room upstairs, a private room. And there were guys that were just back about three rows, and they're like, no effing way. This is the biggest da-da-da-da-da. And they're just getting angrier and angrier, and it's like, dude, why?
They got upset when, you know, controllers came out.
Yeah.
They got all upset. So no way, no real DJ uses a controller. Why do you use a laptop? No, vinyl, yeah, just, you know, analog. Things change.
Yeah, we're going to try to stay back in the and let's go retro back to the 70s when all we had were turntables, but we're not going to. Yeah,
maybe because the Rain 12s got upstaged.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure those were just the purists. They're the ones that, you know, don't use anything other than just the vinyl.
Yeah, real vinyl.
And they just, you know, crank up the vinyl, and they just on that. They don't even use a controller or controlled vinyl. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it's hard to say, but it's very interesting still when you're in that the Pioneer booth where they have, of course, the big push for controllers, and you just see some of the guys who are the vinyl guys who just are shaking their head, and you know, like, this is, it's like, dude, it's not a fad. Controllers are not going to go away. It's not a fad. No. You can do almost everything to a point that you do there. You can do it there if you have the right one. You're not going to do it It's not the what is the cheap one that they have? Not the Wii. Pioneer had a really cheap one for a while there. That was their
entry. The Wii Go.
Was it a Wii Go?
Yeah, it was Wii Go.
Yeah, you can't do a whole ton with the Wii Go or the cheapies, but. You also have the 10 or the 1,000 that they just came out with that has the big platters that you can do a lot of stuff with and really make that a close to turntable as you can almost get.
What was with the tone arm for the SP12? You have the Rain 12?
Yep.
Oh, right.
Yeah, there was an add-on tone arm, somebody said.
I didn't see that. No one talked about that. Bar, did you see anything?
No, I didn't see anything.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think MJ mentioned something about it.
Well, then,
if
MJ talked about it, then it must be somewhere deep in the that they've got. Well,
you
can,
audiophiles know you buy your tone arm separate, and you can add a tone arm anytime to a product like that.
You know, my Target turntables, I don't think I added the tone arm separate on my Target turntable. Or was it my Walmart turntable? I don't remember. But yeah, so that was definitely some interesting thing. Bart, did you get a chance to check out Lyric from Pioneer?
Yes, you know what? I did. I did a whole spot with the Pioneer guys.
Christian? You remember who it was? Christian? Pulse? Or
I did it with Jay.
Jay Brannon.
Yeah.
So you have you have about a 60 to 70 minute intro because, you know, Jay likes to talk about
the product. Well, I mean, we took a look at the DDJ 1000. That's the new thing by Rekordbox. And man, he made me want it. Like, I want to switch over to Rekordbox. It was that good. It now does video, it controls your lights, and and you can do your regular mixing on the same software, which is nuts.
That was really, really impressive.
It was so impressive. With video, not only do you have the video, but like, let's say you have a song that doesn't have it, you can just throw lyrics up there on the screen, and it'll go along with the song. It's insane.
And then some of the songs, Christian was talking, did the video with me, and he was saying some songs it puts it up there like by sentence. But did you see the demo when they did some of them where they were going up word by word and they were doing it across the screen?
They do it like karaoke style, like really high quality animation, though. It's not like your regular swiping, like Star Wars style. It was like popping out all the different kinds of way, different like transitions. It's so cool. Yeah. I really want to try Rekordbox just because of all those features. And the lighting control built in is incredible, too.
Brandon, have you played with any of the Pioneer stuff?
I have not.
Yeah. I haven't either myself beyond, you know, just doing a little bit with some of the inexpensive things. And as Barr said, it wasn't until seeing Lyric specifically
I hate to be devil's advocate.
Oh, shush, but... then you can be quiet over there. We have a mute button.
But if the system goes down in all in one, everything goes down.
Yeah, well, you have a backup. You know, you have your.
You keep the backup one. You just plug him in.
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy.
Yeah, but who wants to replace everything all at once?
Well, you just unplug.
I didn't think of that.
I mean, that's really one of the big reasons why I still have this NS6-2 here is because this and the 7000 both can have two laptops hooked up to it. So it's like, okay, I'm getting to the point now.
The DDJ-1000 has two laptop inputs,
yep,
too.
Yep, you can do it there, too.
But you know what? He's right, because that was one of my questions. I was like, that one computer is doing all this stuff?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, all that one computer is running all that stuff. And I was looking at it like, wow, that's a lot of insane. I was like in disbelief. I'm like, so you're telling me it's doing lyrics, it's doing visuals, it's doing lighting, and it's doing your mixing?
I want to see the CPU usage while it's rocking out, man.
Good question, Jimmy. And that was one of the questions I asked them, exactly where the CPU usage was the greatest. And because of Lyric being a kind of an overlay in the software, is that it uses a little bit more CPU. He said the DMX lighting used very little. The Lyric used a little bit more. So he was saying, Christian was saying, if you had basically a MacBook Pro, any era could run Record Box, pretty much, you know, obviously not 2008, but you know, probably in the last.
Was that a dig?
I'm sorry. What?
Was that a dig about my 2008?
I hit it right on the nose. Imagine that. But he was saying that some of the, you know, that those would be able to handle that. When it got into the creating visualization, and I think more importantly from just my virtual DJ, when I'm doing music videos and you're exporting to the second screen, if you don't have some video RAM and you don't have a decent card in there, that's really the limiting factor. So I'm guessing that's going to be pretty much the same thing, which he said basically anything from 2013 newer has more of the modern video RAM, especially on the Macintosh side. That's going to be able to handle it and handle it well.
Yeah, they definitely won me over with that. I want to try it so bad. It's awesome. You can, you know how you have your regular padded points on your newer controller, Pioneer controls. You have like your 8 pads on each side.
This was cool.
There's a button now, so you tap that button, and now those pads become your scene. So you can do your spotlights, your strobes right on those pads, and then switch back, and it's back to your cue points. It's insane. I want to play with it so bad.
Yeah, that was
very, pretty cool.
That was very neat.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything about the Lyric thing, but I did see about the lighting control part. But being a lighting guy, I've tried to neglect that product exists. Same with Sound Switch.
Yeah, it was definitely a neat thing. I think actually the video that Laurie shot at NAMM, I think the Pioneer videos went live today. For sure, believe the Lyric. Well, yeah, if Lyric went live, then it would, both of them went live that we shot with Christian. So you guys can check that out after the show. Just go out to the youtube.com/discjockeynews and you'll find the video that Christian did and talked about it and demonstrated some things. Okay, so it's a the Tone Arm is a mod that someone did.
Okay. Because you can take any aftermarket Tone Arm and put it in the right place. I mean, originally, that's what they did in broadcasting with the SP10s, Technics SP10s.
The 1210s, yeah.
Yeah. The, you know, that, you know, they, all they were was a platter. They didn't even have any strobe or anything like that. It was on-off platter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I'm not sure why a person would want to add a tone arm beyond aesthetics.
No, I mean, so you could play regular vinyl.
Oh, okay.
You can multi-duty, but what size is the platter? I thought it was only a 10-inch platter.
Oh, no, that looked full size.
Was it 12?
The rain is full size.
Yeah, I think the rain is full size, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I thought it was a 10-inch platter.
No, I think the rain
is full size.
I know it's bigger than, I just got that Newmark NS7. And you know, it's nice, but it's still not a 12-inch piece of vinyl.
Bar, you think that that thousand, that must be a 10-inch platter. That was a big wheel on that thing.
You know what? The Pioneer one? The Pioneer one is designed to be like my system over here. It's literally supposed to be a copy of that.
Yeah.
So they shrunk it. But it's supposed to be a 900 mixer on there. And one of the things that I like about it, too, was one of my gripes with controllers is that the effects are coming from the actual mixer themselves. They're not on the computer, which is one thing that I hate. So that was awesome. They were just winning me over. It's just a win-win. And my only gripe was that it's not for Serato. It's for Record Box.
Well, it isn't yet, but Serato, I'm sure, will...
I mean, if they had the lighting control, the visual, the lyric, I think it's a stretch for them to add it.
So I'm looking at, I didn't check on pricing for the 1,000. Looks like it's about $1,200.
Yeah. $1,200.
It was a decent price.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
Hey.
Howie. Yeah, Howie's in here. I was wondering where he was.
He's been working.
I have a comment on Jimmy's comment about, you know, if it all goes down. Doesn't that, you guys that were there, doesn't that have two computer inputs, that controller?
The 1,000, yes.
Well, then what's the problem?
Jimmy, you see, in Jimmy's world, when your computer still sounds like this Commodore 64 starting up, it's tough to find two Commodore 64s.
Jimmy, remember the big wedding in the Poconos. We had a critical failure. Did anybody know? Because we had backup.
Yeah,
I'm excited about that. I really am. I hate when you guys do these shows though, because it's like I'm done spending for this year.
Howie, it's January. How can you be done spending for the year?
I know, right?
You can't do this.
My goal is to hit all three shows this year. I'm like, oh, okay. Do I do a show or do I buy some gear? I'm like, no.
So my one purchase that I made immediately at the show.
You can buy stuff at the show?
No, you can't. But anyway, so I've got this.
Get somebody in trouble.
Bottle of water.
So you guys, if you saw my Instagram video, basically I have had, you know, we all bought these, the DJ2GO 2. It's upside down.
Yep.
And I found Magma has a hard case that fits it beautifully.
Uh-oh.
Can you put that link up?
I will put the link up, and if you guys could use that link because it's an affiliate link, and I know that may sound, but when you guys buy, click on our affiliate links and such,
yes.
that helps. It doesn't cost you anything, but Amazon gives us a little kickback.
Yeah, Jimmy mentioned that last week, and I was waiting for that.
Yeah,
because I didn't want to buy it without you getting credit for it.
So you check this out. I don't have both wires, but we got.
You bought the case, or you bought that little controller?
I bought the controller. Months ago.
About the case right now.
Yep, because what happened with this case is, or the controller is a nice little controller, but as you can see, we've got some protruding buttons and things, and I was putting it in my backpack, and the only thing I could do is keep it in the packing stuff, because I didn't want it to shear knobs off in my backpack, because it fits perfectly in my backpack, even with it in its box and with the packing stuff. But now... I can put this in here. I can put all of its wires in there. I can put it together. I could even put in my chapstick. Look at that. Chapstick. Ooh, I can put
it in. Hey, John.
And
that's John.
Chapstick.
That's what they make hotel towels for.
No. When we're in,
that's not going there.
Hotel towels are for pooey sessions. Haven't you been to Atlantic City?
Just waiting for that one.
Yeah, it'll... So yeah, that was my big purchase, and I was so when I saw that and I saw that they had a Roland thing in there, and yeah, okay, so I did the video, and there was a Roland controller or something, and I don't know what it was. Who cares? There was some dick out there who's like, that's not the DJ to go to. That's a Roland case. It's like, seriously, you can't in your mind visualize taking out the Roland and setting it on the table and putting in the DJ to go to, huh?
There he is.
You know, I actually used that this past weekend, the DJ to go to. I was in a house party. It was a living room, and it was only 30 by 30. They gave me 3 square feet to work in. So I had a shelf on my tripod that was just big enough to hold my 17-inch Asus. And I thought, all right, it's the inaugural run. And I'll tell you what, it worked out fine. You know, it was basically kind of like a cocktail-type party. So took requests, no fancy mixing, just transitions, and it worked great.
So would you sit your other Asus down on?
What, the backup?
No, your Asus.
That was on the shelf that I had bracketed onto the tripod, and then I had the DJ to go to right on, you know, the laptop. It worked fine. It worked fine. It was okay for that event. It was the right tool for that one.
Yep. There's times where they definitely are able to be used. I mean, I was using it here in the studio on a couple of occasions because I can have it in front of my keyboard. So I can be looking there, I can look there, and I can look here instead of doing the, oh, just a second.
I originally thought I was just going to use it like I had been for the past 3 weeks, just setting cue points. But when this thing came up, the money was right.
Mm-hmm.
But then they said, you get 3 square feet. I was like, wow.
Geez, you'd have to step out to change your mind in a situation like that.
Go to the sky. There's no room.
How do you get your go-go dancers in next to you? I don't know.
Oh, they were dancing. There were 60 people in that place. It was unbelievable.
Very nice.
I like the artwork.
Yes. All right, Jimmy. What happened was I have developed a friendship with a group of artists from New York and the suburbs of New York, which is Jersey. And they get together every once in a while. They get together every year. Last year it was a poetry reading. This year they just wanted a party. And it's all artists of all disciplines. And the guy, the artist that hosted the party, his walls were just filled with nudes. So right behind me, I took some video and I thought, you know, hey, I'll post this video. I'm thinking I'm going to get banned for posting the video. It's a big, huge nude right behind me. So I couldn't post it. I mean, I didn't want to post it. Jimmy saw it, though.
Hugh Hefner's house.
And the thing is, I don't know if you guys got the notice through Facebook. Last week there were two notices that were sent through our channel, a couple of our channels, saying that watch out, we're going to be checking for content, copyright content, and now we're going to get to the point where if there's copyright content, we're shutting you down quicker. They were telling us they would be shutting down people who were copywriting or using our copyright or our content. And then they talked about their filters have improved for catching profanity in the artwork and catching anything that would be considered racy or pornographic. Mm. So,
I would have been in trouble then.
So it's like, well, I guess that when we go to Vegas, there won't be. Although the days of having the porn stars in Vegas at DJ conventions are pretty much over. That was a period in the early 2000s.
Oh, man, I missed out.
When we used to be, we'd go down there and they would have the lighting booths, and it was in some ways it was like a small version of DJ Expo. They would come in there, they'd have stacks of gear stacked here, and then they would have go-go platforms around their booth. And they would have four girls up on these things, scantily dressed, and they were their go-go dancers. And they would sit there and dance for 20-minute shifts. And then the girls would get down. One would go sit. The other would switch booths. And then they'd dance again. Then there would be someone who would have a porn star signing autographs in their booth. And, well, I guess the photo booth, probably the closest to it now is photo booth companies that are having these scantily clad young ladies that people are taking pictures with.
John, that reminds me of Expo 2 years ago. Remember when we first went in? That was the strangest booth. Not like they were selling something, but they had these scantily clad women dancing.
Just kind of dancing there. And they had something in their hands for information. But as I've told many manufacturers, is that the quickest way for me to not cover your booth is to have have women like that in the front of your booth, because I'm not putting that on my videos. So, and that was the year that, was that a lighting company that did that? And
I don't know what it was. I couldn't even tell from the brochures what they were selling.
That sounds like a good idea to me. I would do it.
Well, yeah,
I mean, everybody watched, but what were they selling?
Yeah,
they can have them working out with those shaker weights.
Doesn't matter. They're going to take my money.
But that's the thing. They weren't selling anything.
All the time, yeah.
No. Wow.
They're still getting my money.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. They've been a...
I could see Howie dragging one of those chairs from the performance area over and sitting down right in front of the booth.
Yep. Okay. Yep.
I'm trying to.
Hey, Howie, you and I are too young for this, man.
Oh no,
Hey,
I got to censor myself here, but I can tell you everything still works.
Yeah, but, hey, I'm not messing with you like that, man. No. Oh gosh.
Jeez. No little blue pills for Howie, huh? This is going south.
So that was a nice
dysfunction.
Yeah, so back to NAMM and the video walls.
Yeah, so we're like,
good segue, Brandon.
So
speaking of blow ups, I saw one of those blow up video booths when I was at So, I saw one of those blow up video photo booths.
Yeah.
Yeah.
NAMM?
No.
At NAMM, there were a few podiums, the DIY podiums. Odyssey has a new version.
Yes, I want to buy one of those. They were pretty decently priced, too.
Yeah.
They're 600. I think they're around six, aren't they?
Yeah, 600. And then you get a DSLR camera. I mean, all in, you can have like a legit looking photo booth for like $2,000. It's a good deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, the company I bought mine went out of business, so Mojo's gone now. Photo booth company out of Chicago, I understand they're gone now. Yeah. Their clothes went. Who all was down at NAMM as far as any photo booths? Were there any companies? Like,
most of those photo booth companies are ridiculously overpriced. I think that's why they don't last. There's just not a good price point. Like, all in, it's like most of these want like $10,000 to get you started.
Striker Pose was eight to nine grand to get started.
Selfie Station is like $12,000. It's insane.
I like Brandon's solution. I mean, it's elegant and it works fantastic. Yeah. I mean,
Brandon's going to put them out of business.
No, I mean, really, he does a great job with that.
I paid around five grand for the, for the Mojo, but that included the tent too.
But that sounds like a fair price point. Like, I feel like DJs can work with that, but when you're at like $12,000 price point, anything over $10,000 is quite an investment.
I just about
paid it off. I'm halfway there already, and I haven't even had it a year yet. I mean, I've just about paid it off.
Have you guys seen like the marketing scheme like that most of these photo booth companies do? I don't like it either. It's very pyramid Philly. They're like, oh, quit your job and do something that you enjoy at $100 an hour. I'm like, man, this sounds like a pyramid scheme. Why are you selling it like that?
Yeah,
I'm selling
it's combo. Jersey. Yeah.
I'm selling the combo. The DJ and photo booth together, the brides are loving it. I just came back Sunday. I've already sold four already. I've got four retainers already.
Nice. Very nice.
I've been looking for an excuse to buy a photo booth, and I've been offering it, but nobody's budging.
Yeah, that's the thing is even like the option that Brandon had talked about is that's the idea with the iPad is what the direction I ended up going, because I had the photo booth. Mm-hmm. I went and bought it. I spent the I think it was close to $4,000, and I got it at a good price because of who I know and such when in that realm. I couldn't sell that to pay for it. Didn't happen. So I ended up selling the thing, took a loss, went to a cheaper. What's that?
That sounds like the mirror booth. We had a guy up here with the mirror booth that had the same problem.
Yeah.
That thing is. Ouch. What is that thing? $6,000? What do they get? $6,000 for that mirror?
$8,000 just for the mirror, no interface, and then it's like $10,000 if you're all in.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ouch.
You could build them for $1,000.
I was going to say, there's somebody to build them things.
Yeah, you can build them for a grand.
Well, Tori, I don't know if you guys remember last year.
Tori did.
Yeah, Tori built a beautiful one. It looked fabulous when this they were just starting to come out. And I don't remember. Tori, if you're in the chat there, how much did you guys have into that when on the build? But the thing, Tori's got some mechanical skills that and engineering and electronic skills that most of us don't have.
Rick Webb can crank one of those out for you.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
hey, Rick, you're coming down here, and we have the International Home Furnishings Showcase down here. So you can get big, beautiful mirrors. And do your own. All you got to do is put in the thing. I mean, they're ornate. They're the mirror on the wall looking mirror frames. All right. So just change out the glass and put your own two-way in and, you know, get the sensor off of eBay. You know, I think it's 50-inch sensor or 40-inch. You can get those off there. Add a camera. A computer and a printer.
Yeah, Tori just mentioned they had less than 1,000 into it without the PC.
So, that's who I talked to about it.
Yeah.
The printer's the most expensive thing with a photo booth, it seems like. Yeah. To me. That's where they get you is that, I mean, the paper and stuff is not that expensive. I think I pay $109 for 800 through that image place out of Texas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's about 809 or it's 809 or somewhere around in there.
And it's weird, right? They get you in with the paper and the ink, right? It's like one runs out, you're done with both. And it's like if you accidentally bump the paper or something like that, then the ink is gone with it. So you're in for both.
Change them both at the same time.
Yeah.
If you're going to change them, you change them. I'm learning all this. This is all photo booth that's new to me. We just bought it last year. My wife's like, what are you doing? I'm like, honey, I'm going to try to make some money with this thing.
Trust me. Is it working out for you?
It's doing is a combo. It does individually. Brides don't seem to want to. Ooh, I can't. You know, because I'm doing the 300, 300 to 400 for the first hour and 100 per hour after that. That's kind of hitting them because they're like, but then when I total it up, then they're like, ooh, $600 for 3 hours, and they're like, ugh. But there's some people they're putting them out there $100 an hour. I can't compete with that.
I've been offering it. I mean, I don't even have one, but I've been offering. I thought most guys were getting about 200 an hour, so about 200 an hour. So 4 hours wedding, I'm saying $800, and people are just like running for the hills when they hear that.
Yeah.
How's the step and repeat working for you, though?
Well, that's an easy sell because I do graphic design, so I can sell that for $300 and, you know, make $200 out of it.
Yeah. I kind of sell it under the smartphone theory, where if I say something to them like, look, you know, you guys go and can make a makeshift photo booth. The problem with that, everybody's got their phone. Okay. You as a bride and groom, you guys will never get the images because they're everywhere. And at the end of the night, I've been giving them the thumb drive. A thumb drive's cheap. You give them a thumb drive with everything on it. They can go to Walmart, get the 4x6s. One of them even showed me where they did a 5x7 with it. Mm-hmm. Boom, you sell it. It's just, you know, I'm trying to do every marketing tool I can with it. And if anybody can help me out there with it, hey, all means, please pass it along to me because I get into something to say, hey, I just wanted something to enhance the DJ business. People have fun. They have more fun at the photo booth. I'm like, wait a minute, guys. Y'all have more fun back there. I started a conga line, and the conga line stopped at the photo booth. My conga line stopped, and I'm like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Where did my conga line go? My wife's there laughing at me because she's the one running the booth. And she's like, honey, we're all over here. I'm like, where did my conga line's gone? I mean, they went to the booth, but that's okay. They were having a good time over there. That's what the main thing. So,
you know, the stanchions in the velvet rope, you can get those for $100.
Well, they're not that expensive then.
No. Huh? Then you put down a piece of red carpeting, and you know you have hemmed, and then you're in fairly cheap.
Wow! I'd have to. Oh, by the way, I was a little bit of a celebrity at NAMM this year.
Oh,
I had a review. I had a review that was posted. Hercules.
Oh yeah.
Did a review.
Oh, yep.
Well, you've been playing.
They should give you something.
Yeah, they should. But no, they one of these on Facebook was one of these little inside deals, and they said, "Hey, you want to do a review? You own a couple of Hercules controllers." I said, "Yeah." I did a review, and he showed me where it was, where I guess they had their display. They didn't want to get off the subject too much, John. Just wanted to put that out there. Yeah. But
Bar, I remember you did a video on your Hercules controller. Showed it all beat to hell.
Yeah, I love that thing. That's where it all started.
Yep.
Those are rugged controllers now. People laugh at them things, but hey, they're nice. They're rugged. I mean, they do the job.
Yeah, man. I was doing like a 3-piece computer. I had like the square box with like the actual system, then I had a monitor, a keyboard, and a mouse, and I would bring that out to gigs.
It was
insane.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that was
the
before your
TV days.
Yeah.
It worked. Yeah, I remember hauling a G3 G3 Apple once to a gig.
But it worked, didn't it?
Yeah,
if it works, use it.
But it was embarrassing.
Yeah. It's embarrassing now.
At the end of the day, everybody's happy dancing, but it's just a tool, right?
Just a tool, yeah. Yeah, that it is.
We need to do more of these on photo booths, John. We need to do more things on. You need to do more in the insider. Really do, man.
Yeah,
I think there's money to be made with those photo booths, but the companies are just like ridiculously overpricing them.
I think there's, I really think this year at the Photo Booth Expo, we're going to see the beginning of the change of that. And I talked to a couple of companies after Brandon and I did our first couple of videos talking about iPad software. I was talking to a couple of companies that were getting ready to produce some software. And they're like, we need to get it out here, and we have to get it out within the next 6 months. One of them abandoned the process, and the other one he's still working on with his Indian coders. They need to get it out in the next 6 months because they feel that in about a year, which would put us about mid-2018, that the iPad software photo booth world is going to be inundated with apps that will basically make it so any of these profit that they could have by selling the membership, selling the monthly thing, selling this is going to be gone.
Yeah, honestly, that's where I think it's going, because this year at NAMM, I saw so many companies just selling shelves, and I mean, people feel a lot more comfortable because it's not like some high-end technology. It's just a photo app and a printer. That's it.
Well,
and charging $10,000 for that, it's insane. You're charging for the shelf.
Your Mac, your average, iMac and laptop all come with photo booth as a freebie.
Yeah, as a freebie.
Yeah.
Mine came with an HP. It was an HP little one of those little small laptops, touch screen, of course, laptop that more or less and Mojo pretty well they threw that booth together. Now it's not made, doesn't look like it, don't have the metal edges around it and all. It's got little neon the LED strips inside of it. They built a nice booth. They really did. I bought the covers from them and everything else, but then found out that they went belly up also. I'm like, oh, but everything they sold me in there, pretty much you can replace.
Yeah, you can get it again.
It's all outside stuff.
Right.
Darkroom software is really not that bad to deal with. I've had to converse with them over the phone about updates and all kinds of stuff like that, and they've been really – they've got a plus as far as a support team over there.
I have a question for the pioneer here. This is for Brandon. What is the media kit cost on average per gig for yours? I'm looking at your style. I like that one with the iPad.
Right. So you're referring to printer media or like graphic design stuff?
No, the actual, what would be the cost, an average cost to do a gig with those strips you get and so forth? I mean, I really like that.
Right. So the strips, it's really the same printer as most other regular photo booths are going to use too. The box of media cost me like $160, and that's for two rolls of 700 prints. and the prints are 4x6. So when you cut those strips in half, you're getting double that amount. So you're really getting 1,400 strips out of one roll, and you're getting two rolls. So you're getting 2,800 strips per box for $160. For an average wedding of like 200 people, I'm spending $30 or less on media.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Now there's- yep. And then like Scott was talking about, I do the flash drives. I buy them in bulk on Amazon. So that's another $3 added to the cost. I usually have an attendant that gets like 100 or 150. And then I throw in a scrapbook too. So we print an extra copy of the prints, double-sided tape it into a scrapbook, and they can sign their names by it and leave a message for the bride and groom. And I get the scrapbooks on sale at Michael's for $10, and I get some gel pens and some tape. So I'm in like $75 in materials.
There you go. Great. You just answered some things for me right there. See?
So I wanted to talk a little bit about the iPad photo booth too, because that came up. And I think the biggest reason people don't want to get into photo booths is because they see it as a headache. When there's issues with the software or there's an issue at an event, it just becomes this big headache now that you got to worry about while you're trying to DJ or whatever else you're trying to do. And you've got a line of people at the photo booth, and darkroom photo booth just crashed, or your Windows decided to update or something like that. So that's one of the reasons that I'm sticking with the iPad photo booth, is because it's running on an iPad. I mean, I haven't had an issue on an iPad. I don't know about any of you, but I've never really had an iPad just shut off or crash or anything like that. So SnapPic, the software I'm using, actually just released a sneak peek of a new feature, and they figured out a way to hook up a DSLR to an iPad.
Wow.
So now you can get the DSLR quality, which is the reason all the DSLR people, those booths, usually look down upon iPad booths because of the camera quality. So now you can get that quality from an iPad, and you're just using the iPad as the touchscreen and to run the app. And in my opinion, the iPad apps are way more stable, and they could do a lot more feature-wise too. Like mine does the digital props and everything like that.
Is it like a cable or something?
Yeah, so they're looking to go from the DSLR itself into the headphone jack of the iPad. Wow. And it's kind of like using a flash or something like that. It's actually the iPad is sending like an audio signal through the headphone jack, which is triggering the camera to take the picture. Just like the camera would trigger a flash or something like
that. Is it like the, for example, like the crappy selfie stick shutter buttons? Does it sort of work like that? Because like I know those plug into the headphone jack too.
It's similar technology, yeah, similar. They posted a short video of it working, and what's cool about it is the live preview on the iPad actually works. So you're seeing the DSLR footage live on an iPad, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking to get an iPad Pro soon to start using with the new booth, and I'm going to go with the 12.9 version. So it's a 12.9-inch display. So I'm getting a larger touchscreen display, and then if I hook up a DSLR, I've got the DSLR camera quality. In my opinion, you can't beat that with a regular booth, you know.
Are there any issues with like latency and stuff like that?
So far, no, but it's still in beta. It hasn't really been released yet, so.
Gotcha.
Brandon's Mike asked.
Yeah, we learned something here. Thank you.
Mike asked in the chat room here, YouTube, he was asking what brand of photo booth do you have? So kind of go through what you've been using, if you would, one more time, please.
Yeah, so I've been through a few things. When I first started, I built my own kind of enclosure that went on a tripod and quickly learned that that wasn't desired. So I moved to a metal enclosure from Shuttercube that was basically a steel vertical enclosure, which let's see John, if you can pull my screen up, where do I do that?
You should be able to share screen, that should then override to everybody.
How can I do that?
It should be in the bottom. Hang on, maybe I know. I've got to do that. Now you should have share screen on the bottom.
Yep. Okay, cool. So
for those wondering, I had to make him co-host, so that's how it works. Can you guys all see that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so this is my current booth. It's a metal enclosure for the iPad. And then this is just an acrylic tower with the printer on it, with an acrylic cover over it.
Did you make the tower?
The tower I did build, yes. It's using metal connectors, like Esto connectors. It's kind of like a PVC pipe. And then just an acrylic 4x8 sheet cut up into these, the panels that Velcro in. And then you could throw an LED inside too. So that's my current booth.
What did you use for the gobo on the floor?
That is, it's above the booth here. You can't really see it. That's there you go. Right there.
Good idea.
The Easy Gobo.
Oh, nice.
From Chevet. So battery powered. It's magnetic. So it went right on top of the booth. And I just got a custom thing that says photo booth. My goal is to put that in large letters above the backdrop because it's open air. So when you walk into like a wedding reception and the photo booth's off in the far corner, you'll see photo booth in big letters over the backdrop.
That's a good idea. I like that idea.
And it kind of helps it stand out a little bit. So that's my current booth, but I am upgrading to something, which I'm not sure if I'm exactly allowed to show you guys, but I'll play a short clip of this video. And this is going to be my new booth. That's going to have white acrylic inside of it with LED. And there's the 12.9-inch touchscreen iPad.
Nice.
So that's going to be my new version. And I can't share what company is releasing that yet, but that's going to be the new one. But the one I've been rocking with is Shuttercube.
That looked good.
Very nice.
Looked very similar to the Modi booth, M-O-D-I booth. I did a couple of videos for, I can't think of his name, but yeah, that's the ones I bought. Two of them. I've got two of them on the other side, and he can customize them so incredibly well.
Right.
Good stuff there. With mine, I'm still using the iPad Pro. I've got the 9.7. I went the 9.7 direction just because of the higher quality camera that's in the 9.7 over the 12.
Right.
12.
So whatever. You guys are using the built-in cameras on the iPad?
Yeah.
Correct.
Ooh, that's rough though.
What kind of printer are you using?
I use an RX1.
I've still got that DN. I've got a DNP. It's that 620.
Okay. DNP RX1.
Here's the thing. If you're only doing little trips, you don't need a ridiculously high resolution camera.
Correct. Yeah.
You're not doing portraits.
The thing is being shrunk down so small.
The thing is these days also, iPhones and iPads, the cameras are great quality what they are.
Brandon, Brandon, what are you using for a camera for this chat?
My Surface Pro.
Yeah, and look at the quality of the resolution of what he has on that. It looks really, really good, and that's
Going off that with the quality for the strips and stuff. I know I mentioned this in I think both of our previous photo booth chats too. When I sell the photo booth, I'm selling the experience. I'm not selling a professional photography service with these great prints. 9 out of 10 events I go to, when I'm the last one leaving, almost all the strips are still on the tables after all the guests left.
Yeah.
They don't even take them home. If they do, they probably go in the garbage a week later. It's more of just the experience of people going in, having fun with their friends, and then seeing that physical copy print out. And they're like, oh, that was funny. Oh, you messed up. You looked like an idiot in that one. And then that's it. And the photo booth experience is over. And then they go back 10 times later and they bring their boyfriends and their friends and this and that. But I sell it as the experience. I'm not selling a high quality service. I see a lot of people advertise like, oh, we use, high quality DSLRs and stuff, but I don't see any benefit to that really.
World, whatever. I've seen it. Oof. I don't know. Yeah. I've seen it put out crazy. I mean, world famous photo booth. I've seen all kinds of stuff put out there on it.
Mm-hmm.
What about as far as them picking out different templates? I'm thinking about only putting maybe 3 or 4 different ones for them to pick because I use it a lot at weddings. So brides go crazy over trying the templates. Oh my gosh. And to build them, I've learned how to build them, and it's like, man, it's time consuming. It really is.
Right. Well, yeah. So with SnapPick, you can offer that multi experience, they call it. So you could do regular photo strips, you could do 4x6 prints, you could do GIFs, you could do all that kind of stuff all in the same session. So when they walk up to the booth, all the options are right on the front screen. They could choose what they want and then they could take it. They can go back and then take a regular photo or whatever. So you can actually upload 3 different strip templates and they could choose, oh, do we want a blue background, a red background, or a green background?
Nice.
It's really powerful software. And then on top of that, as far as customizing and giving them options, when they finish their photo session, they could apply filters. So black and white and all the typical Instagram filters and stuff. They could do digital props, which act as like Snapchat type, you know, dog faces and stuff like that. So there's a lot of cool features and stuff that I feel like you can sell them easier than just saying, hey, I have a really good quality camera on my photo booth.
Yeah. Well, I've done some graphics work for Tori and Mike, and I know, like, I think I've done some for you for your strips, haven't I, Brandon?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So guys like me and DJ Bauer over here, they're graphic designers. Yeah, we can offer the world.
Well, right, yeah. The thing is, I like photography, so like I'm very anal with my pictures. Like I love good pictures, but that's just me.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, we could. You and I can. You know, we can make all kinds of graphic backgrounds.
Yeah. Oh, know? Yeah. That's not an issue for me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and it's like bang.
I don't know, guys. I think kind of, you know, with my graphics experience, I could make a white background.
With their names on it. Stick man.
In Times New Roman.
No, that makes sense. What are you doing?
Hey, I can bold that New Roman too.
It's actually Utopia.
Yes, Utopia is my default go-to.
That's the default now.
Yes, that's
right. Yeah, that's the DJ on TV font.
Are you skilled enough to make a black background though?
Don't push me. I may not be able to accomplish that.
What about a checkered background?
Yeah, I tell you what. I mean, I've learned a lot with Photoshop.
You had it right the first time.
I've had it. I've learned a lot with Photoshop just because I've been trying to teach myself how to make my own strip designs because they are a little pricey, in my opinion. I use photo booth templates a lot. They're like $29 a piece for the strip design, and then you download the PSD and you can move text nice. Around and change Pretty text nice. And backgrounds and stuff like that. And I've bought about 10 from them when I first started for events. And it was a good way for me to move stuff around and mess with changing the background colors and stuff like that. And now I'm comfortable with Photoshop where I can kind of start from scratch and build my own template, which is pretty cool.
You guys are selling these photo booths at like as an upsell. You guys are grouping it as a package with your DJ stuff, because I've been trying to sell it as an add-on and that's not working.
Yeah. So I was going to bring that up earlier when Scott was talking about it. I saw something in one of the photo booth groups and someone was saying how, you know, you shouldn't be selling your photo booths as an add-on and this and that. They were like, you should be selling it as its own service. That's why the photo booth industry is, you know, getting paid so little now when it used to be getting paid a lot and this and that. And
no, it's called too many fish in the pond.
Right. I disagree with that to an extent. I think there's a lot of benefit, especially in the client's eyes, to selling it as an add-on. If you're going there to DJ already and you just have to set up an iPad on a stand with a printer, right. You know, and they're getting this awesome photo booth service out of it, and you throw it in for $300 and 200 of that is profit after your expenses. I mean, that's a no-brainer for them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I do see the other side of selling it as its own service. I very rarely sell just the photo booth. I don't really get people that come to me to just buy a photo booth. They're usually booking everything else. But part of my sale pitch is kind of trying to make it sound like its own service with all the things that are, you know, addition. Like my phone calls with the clients aren't just, oh, okay, you want to book a DJ? We go over all the details about the DJ and MC, and then, oh, you want to add on a photo booth for 300? it's, you know, a half an hour explanation of what our photo booth does before I say the price and this and that. And then it makes that price a little bit sweeter too. But I sell them for, I'm on Long Island and I sell them for usually $5.95.
For 3 hours, 4 hours?
Three hours?
4 hours with prints.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's why I was saying the three and one, that's what I was going with. But I don't know, you know, 300 to start with and then 100 per hour. But
damn, I was just throwing out 1,000.
Yeah. there are some companies in my area that I know that charge $1,000 to $1,200, but I also know that the final contract is usually like $600 to $800. That normally gets knocked down because the people discount it once they book a DJ or once they add this in or add that in. And to be honest, like I said, the costs of a photo booth are so minimal. You know, it's the booth itself that costs a lot, but the physical cost for each party after a flash drive, a scrapbook, and the media is less than $50. To charge $1,200 and make a, you know, $1,200 profit out of it is kind of crazy.
Well, Brandon, what do you do for party props? I go to like Dollar Tree and stuff. But
so, yeah, I'm gonna let me take you actually. Let me
bring field this trip. Over. Field trip.
Yep.
A good place to buy like
all
like the glasses.
Go into my photo booth crate.
Ooh,
a
photo booth
crate. A good place to buy all the glasses and stuff from like my personal experience is Oriental Trading online.
Yeah, Oriental Trading, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good place too.
A lot of people go there.
Yeah.
So I go all with the high quality props. I'm not a fan of the dollar store stick props. One of my newest things is this. It's a featherless boa. So people usually hate boas because they shed, they make a mess. People's black suits get the white feathers on them and stuff, and their boyfriends and girlfriends are picking them off of them for the rest of the night. But these are featherless, and they're allergy-free, which is
awesome. Are they plastic?
They're not. Nope. They just feel like regular boas.
Where do you get those from?
So those are from photoboothbackdrops.com. His name's Brian Ginsberg in the photo booth group.
Yeah.
And I think they sell for $12 a piece or something like that. So they're a little pricey, but they're nice because I've had clients actually request no boas as props because they'll say, we've been to other parties and the boas make a mess, this and that. They're all over the dance floor and stuff like that. So I went with those, which are always a big hit. The only kind of cheap prop I'd say I have is these giant sunglasses. From Amazon, you get like a 4-pack, but all of my signs are the PVC.
Sure.
Wow.
Ooh. So they're all the thick PVC. They're pricey. It's like, I think it's a little over 100 for like a 12-pack of double-sided signs. But I've got wedding themed ones. I've got, you know, hashtag ones and stuff like that. Which is pretty cool, but I like the feel of these better than the plastic ones. So it's just preference. And then in the back behind me actually is some custom hashtag ones that I get made, which are also from Brian Ginsberg. And those run about $30 a piece, but I've ordered those several times for events. I try and upsell the clients when they do a photo booth, charge them $50 per hashtag and they cost me 30. So I make $20. Which is pretty cool when they can get, you know, hashtag, whatever the bride and groom's hashtag is for the event. I did a color run and they ordered 5 hashtags for the color run, which is cool. So
that's photoboothprops.com.
Photoboothbackdrops.com. But they sell more than just backdrops.
Okay. Which I know he's going to record this later on, but I'm just wanting to
get
it up here.
Yep, get it, make your notes and such.
Yeah. Also, another site to write down is Prop Shop Pros. Prop Shop, P-R-O-S. The guy's name on Facebook is Michael something with a C. I don't know if you know how to pronounce his last name.
Yeah, let me just – he's a friend of mine, actually. He's from Wisconsin. Yeah.
Okay. That's PropShopPros.com. Yeah, that's where I order all my PVC props. And they have a section called B stock and it's all like slightly damaged stuff. And you could barely tell, the print on it might be like slightly off centered, or there might be a little chip in the bottom right corner. stuff like that, but you can get them for 50% off. So I always
It's like going back to school again, man.
Michael Chekalski is who he is online. It's check as in like writing a check, Alski, Michael Kachalski.
Okay.
And he's got his sidebar with Michael. At his wedding, he was a DJ who used to do huge DJ events, and he had some partners. His best man at his wedding came out and did the guy who lives in a van down by the river. I just completely lost it. His name, Matt Foley. He came out and did an incredible Matt Foley, and that he was trying to motivate and pump up the crowd, and he did the routine. It was like spot on. It was crazy good. So, yeah, wow. A lot of people know him from that. He was the groom of that wedding. They've seen him online, and it's like, oh, you're that guy.
Oh,
jeez. So if anyone's out there watching on Facebook, there's still a few of you on Facebook watching. We're going to lose that feed here in just at any time because there's a nine. There it went. And all of a sudden we paused. So, yeah, we lose.
You have 54 in here right now, John.
Yeah, we
doing good here.
Yeah. What's that, YouTube?
Yeah, the YouTube. Between YouTube and in our group here, so we've got those two are still going to go, and those are solid yet. But yeah, Facebook has a 90 minutes time frame.
We went 3 hours last night, John. I think, didn't we?
Oh, here? Sunday night was just short of three hours. Sunday night when Arnaldo we basically were so laser focused on our topic. I don't even know if we got off our topic. We were so.
Tacos.
That's a good one.
Tacos. Wait a minute. We did five. What was it? What was that 5 hour one?
There was.
Help me with that one.
It was a solid. It was
stop recording. I think.
Yeah, there was a 4 hour.
I think you spent a half hour on tacos, John.
Yeah, tamales. And for those of you wondering, there will be a tamale party. That was just announced in the DJ Cave at Mobile
DJ
Beat.
DJ Cave, the tamale party.
There will be a tamale party at Mobile
Beat.
Are
you guys going to Mobile Beat?
Yeah.
No.
Yep. I'll be down there.
I like to, but it's going to be a next year thing for me.
I'm going to the Photo Booth Expo. Anyone else here going there?
Well, you might as well hit them both. They're both the same time. One's at one end of the strip and one's at the other end of the strip. So.
Really?
If you're down for one, you can hit them both. And if you have a pass for one, exhibit hall pass or a full pass for one, you can get into the exhibit hall of the other.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And the tamale party.
Yes, well, you don't have to have a pass for the tamale party. You just have to know people to make sure you get on the invite to tell you which room it is. Which, of course,
tell Arnaldo.
Yeah,
what is that, like the after-hours party or something there?
Yeah, it's going to be Vegas. We're all going to... Have a Vegas night out after the show.
You good to meet some of you guys.
Yeah, that'll be. I think the last time we did.
I'm gonna have to start wearing a hat now that I took all my hair off. I just, please. I'm gonna have to do like you, Howie. Start wearing a hat.
Well, we have DJ. We've got DJ and TV hats just for that purpose.
Just powder it a little bit because the glare is killing me, man.
I don't even want to go there with you now, shirtless man.
Oh, hey, don't bring that one up.
Hey. Oh, he's got a shirt up.
Miracle.
John, you missed that one.
I know. I saw in the replay when I was editing the video. It's like, is Jimmy naked? I don't want to know.
Nice.
I don't want to know.
You don't want to know. I need to find a hat. No, my wife is going through chemo, so I decided I would go ahead and.
Wow!
Very nice.
Oh. Yeah, honor her wishes
good,
on.
Good.
Yeah.
Nice so, way to show support.
She's doing well, though. She's doing.
Give her good. Her very best. You know, my wife went through that a year ago too.
It's not fun.
No.
Mm-mm.
No, it's not. So, I wanted to put that note out there so people would know that. I surprised her today. She got in the car and we went somewhere. We went to somewhere with the chamber and. I says, look, honey, I decided to join. Turn around. No, you didn't. I said, yep. I went ahead and took it all off. So, and her, I'm doing it to help, you know, just with her. So, just to let you all know. So, I appreciate thoughts out there. So, on that. So getting out of that, just to let you know.
So let's kind of transition. We want to wrap things up here in just a little bit. Brandon, have you had a chance to look at anything, any of the information starting to drip out from the Photo Booth Expo? Are you from the manufacturers?
Not exactly. Besides that one I just shared, that's from actually a local guy that I'm going to be, I think it's coming out beginning of March, mid-March. And I'm going to be getting one of the first copies of that booth. But I haven't really seen anything else new. I've seen the same old companies post a lot, like Moby Booth and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But a lot of overpriced stuff, like you guys talked about beforehand. Like those Moby Booth, I think they go for like $2,400.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is crazy, but especially for an iPad show.
yeah, for sure. Because, I mean, there's a the iPad versions. I think the cheapest I've seen an iPad a standalone full system was $800 without the iPad.
So I could actually switch over to do that with no problem. Then.
Well, I don't know if I would switch over. It would almost be something to add as an option,
you right? Because like a social booth.
Yeah, a social mm-hmm. booth that you could use at a given time, and then for the people who want a better quality photo, more of a keepsake, because there are some venues that I've used the iPad version. And because of the venue lighting and such, that the photos are okay for us, you know, on my cell phone to look at. But if you print those out after the fact, it's like, oh, you know, they're a little grainier than I really like it. I mean, yeah. A prime example, look at Brandon's, the quality of his video has been bouncing back and forth here. That happens on the iPad during the show. That's just the way. And all of a sudden somebody's blocking a light or da-da-da. So it's not a perfect science. But for the quick and easy and such, I'm going to... I sell that quick fun of having that fun and excitement on the phone where mm-hmm. it has gone pretty well.
And that's what you run on? You run the iPad one and the camera off the iPad? That's
yes. What Brandon showed in that second is almost identical, except mine has selfie booth the selfie booth URL at the very bottom of it. It is an illuminated stand and the ring light, and then it has a 9.7 instead of a 12-inch. Otherwise,
is that the one you share with Bill?
No, that's a different, that one's a different one. That was my first one I purchased. I purchased that one like summer of last year, which was a full plastic aluminum frame, plastic, so it glow in the front and the back.
Is that that lollipop looking one? Is that kind of?
Yeah, it was something I had picked up from a guy who was building them. And when you look at it under bright light, room lights, it does look a little bit, it's like, okay, you know, the fit and finish isn't the greatest, but once the lights are down and it's working, you know, everyone thinks it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. The only reason I wanted to go to the different one is that it's a little bit nicer looking and it is all branded. And now that Brandon showed that little Govo idea from on top of it. Oh yeah. I'm stealing that.
I'm going to take my easy go. Hey, you take my easy and use that one for that. So would you have it made?
Yeah, so the Gobo, actually, I don't know if you follow my YouTube channel at all, but if you go visit that, I just posted a video yesterday about that Gobo and some other Gobos I got made for my moving heads from this company called Machine Artist. So if you visit machineartist.com or whatever, if you give them my name and say you want that photo booth Gobo, they could literally print you that same one because the template's already made.
Sure.
So that's worth
it. They charge?
Get that made. The custom ones run $45. They might be able to help you out a little bit because the template's already set up, so it's technically a reprint. Or if you want to shoot me a message and have me order it for you, then it would be a reprint from me, so I think it would be around $30 or something like that. Mm-hmm. They also have a bunch of stock Gobos, if you're interested, that are $8 a piece. So
nice.
Yeah, I'd like to replace out some. Were they 26 millimeter?
They're whatever size you need.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Yeah, they sell all the different sizes, so they'll make whatever you need. Like the Easy Gobo is way smaller or way bigger than the 350s, I mean. But, yeah. Back to the go ahead.
Hey, Rick, what did you pay for yours?
For what?
For your custom Gobos.
Oh, I couldn't even tell you. I think I paid $114 for two.
I like Rick's. His is awesome. It, like, he puts them in moving heads, and then they go all around the room. It looks so mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you put them on the prism and it just spins and it's...
It's a good promo item too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been looking to get my letter B in that, but I've just been putting it off,
Quit putting it off.
Do something.
Brandon, I just sent you a request there on Facebook so that way I can get that information from you.
Sounds good, man. Yeah, so back to the iPad quality. I know John was saying before having the simplicity of the iPad in addition to your other booth, Scott, is a nice option to just have that social booth to be able to quickly set up for an event. If you have someone call you on a Thursday, hey, do you have a booth available for Friday? You know, and you just need to send out an attendant with it. It's much easier to send out an iPad booth person than a full booth in case they have to troubleshoot or something like that. But at the same time, with the new DSLR update, you can now get those high quality photos from an iPad booth. But at the same time, people are arguing that that takes away from the point of an iPad booth, because people are saying the whole point of an iPad booth was to, for the simplicity of it, of just popping in an iPad and being ready to go. And now they're trying to complicate things with having a DSLR and a wire and all that. But I don't see that as an issue at all. In fact, I have a few DSLRs that I use for like zap shots and stuff like that, that I'll probably start using with the photo booth. But if the venue lighting is right, I will probably resort back to just using the iPad as the camera, especially the new pros, because if there's good lighting in the venue, the pictures are amazing.
Yeah, they can do a really nice job.
Brandon, do you with that iPad, can you do prints if you want to, or you just won't, don't even bother doing prints for that? Just take that by itself.
I do prints almost every event. I've done a few like charity events where I'll just set it up in a corner and just let it go. And people can just, you know, even without a backdrop, people will just walk up and get nice and close and take, you know, GIFs and pictures like that. And then they could just text and email it to themselves. But almost every event I do is with prints.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I was asked, because I'll use that other printer and, you know, that the DMP that I have. You know, unless I want to, they do have good deals on this imaging place. You can get one for usually around $800, where normally more than that. So, I know somebody told me be careful when it comes to those printers, because you can either get a good one or you can get one that's not so good. It all depends.
Yeah, some of them aren't very reliable.
Yeah, there's some of them that aren't. Some of the, I think it was Sony that was one of them. It was one brand that people have a lot of trouble with, from what I understand. So I was trying to be careful with that. DNP, as someone told me, they can get the paper for them, and they're not that hard to load. I haven't never had a problem with it. So we've had it out there almost a year. I just had to practice changing the paper a couple times. But that can get,
So, Brandon, you buy the high-quality props. Do you deal with anyone taking them, stealing them? Company I work for now, we have like 4 photo booths. They're all handmade, and we have the cheap props, and we lose them a lot.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Do you guys send out an attendant with your booth, I'm assuming?
Normally we try to, yes.
Okay. So if there's someone there by the booth, I always tell my guys to just kind of watch the props, make sure people put them back, kindly ask them to put them back on the prop table. Every once in a while, the props will end up on the dance floor. I don't mind it. I think it's fun. It adds to it, especially when the bride and groom get their wedding photos of the dance floor. Everyone's having a blast, and Uncle Joe has giant sunglasses and a Viking hat on. Mm-hmm. I think they kind of like that. But we just got to make sure we get them back at the end of the night. We'll kind of track them down a few minutes after they have some fun with it. I've only had 2 props stolen from me. One was a rubber chicken from Amazon. They brought it over to the bar, and the chicken got a little drunk, and I never got it back. And the other one was a rubber fish. I put a chicken and a fish out at almost like every event, and it's like the favorite prop. People will like hold it up and do crazy things with it. But I've had both of them stolen once. I've replaced them. They're like $13. Yeah. So to take that out of the thing is not a big deal. But those PVC signs, I've never had anyone take. I don't know. I feel like people wouldn't really take them because they don't really have a need for them.
You don't have like annoying like drunk people or annoying kids just constantly going up to it and annoying, because you have to have somebody attending the booth. What if you have like a really drunk person or some kid just keeps going and going and going? I was working with a company once. I was doing a subcontractor gig, and they sent out a photo booth. And at the end of the night, we got a complaint that the photo booth attendant told the kids that they couldn't take any more pictures, but the kids were just being so annoying.
That does happen a lot, more so with kids than drunk people. The drunk people usually come up with friends and family. That's the good thing about photo booth. They're usually with other people, so they're supervised in a way.
Yep.
And they'll try and take a prop, and someone who's with them will be like, oh, put that prop back, and they'll listen to them. Whereas if you tell them to put the prop back, they might not. But
honestly, photo booth sounds like – it sounds like, honestly, babysitter service for the parents, because the parents are answering and the photo booth attendant is taking care of the kids.
Now your time.
Yeah, the kids are a little...
I'm at a bar mitzvah. Ooh. Yeah,
I'll tell you what, you charge more if there's kids.
Yeah. I hate kids.
It's true. It's that simple.
You tell them that that's your standard rate. But
that's what I was going to ask.
I agree with Jimmy on that one.
Charge more. It's real simple. There's going to be a lot of kids. You charge an extra $100.
Little
or more. Or more.
Liability.
Grades around 1 through 8 are probably the most annoying to deal with at gigs, I want to say.
Do any of you all take a step stool with you? I've got one that folds out that I bought from Harbor Freight.
Yeah.
Because ours is one that's a stand. It's not a sit down. Ours is a stand up. You get kids that aren't, I mean, some of them aren't tall enough. We've had it where that didn't even work. They had to hold the kid in their arms and all that. But I have a stool for them usually to stand, you know, to get up and at least stand up on one of them little fold-up ones.
Right. So two things with that. One, with the iPad booths, that's the other reason I love it, is the top of it actually can be angled down. So if kids come in the booth, I just angle the camera down and they're in the photo. Oftentimes parents will come in with the kids and they'll be like, oh, we're going to have to pick you up. And they walk in, they see the live preview and their kids on the screen and they love it. And I get compliments about that all the time. The second thing, the reason I don't bring a stool and just leave the booth is because it could potentially lead to a liability thing too, if the kid falls off of it or trips or something like that. And it's just one less thing I'd rather not worry about with the photo booth.
I have an attendant that's right there with that, and I've told him, don't, you know, make sure. And then I'll ask the parent first, you want to place them up there, stand up there and hold them. Usually it works out fine with that. I'm not going to walk away, put that and walk away from it. No,
then right.
Something like that does. But yeah, with those box, and I call it a box booth, they're very hard when it comes to that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing about it with a box booth. I didn't know you could adjust them. Cool. Learn something else.
Put it on a pan tilt zoom head and just have it with two setups where you hit a button.
The hole in the center is just barely enough really to put the lens through there. You really can't move it around too much. And I don't know why Mojo did that, but they built that top box is built tight. I mean, you can't, they literally put a little circle going all the way to the end of the plexiglass on it.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of a roto zip gun?
Yeah. It's not paid for it. I know it's not. I don't want to do that, Jimmy. Yet it's not paid for, man. I want to pay for it first. Let me get it off a warranty. I know what you're saying. Be constructive. I know exactly where you're going with that.
Is the camera internally on one of those adjustable stands, or it's not? It's just
sitting there. It can tilt just so much.
Gotcha. You know?
And I wanted to mess with it a little bit more, but I can put it on live to where, you know, and that's where I usually put it on when they come up and hit start. It goes to live so that they see themselves before the picture's taken. That's the first thing they told me to do on that. Go to make sure it's on live.
Right.
And all. I mean, I went and did a lot of tests before we took it out in the public. I know people that's bought those booths and go out there and haven't really learned anything on them and go out there. And that's like DJing without knowing what you're doing. Just, and you see that. I've seen it at other shows where they didn't even know how to, they were trying to learn how to change the paper while they're at a show. I mean, I've seen it out there. I don't know if you've ran into experience, but yeah, you need to know your booth. That's the first thing you should do is YouTube that stuff. It's all over the place, but yeah, I don't know. It's just, wow. But yeah, I'm going to have to do some playing around with that a little bit, see if I can and work on that. Cause that stool, that makes me, my wife gets it out and I'm like, I don't know. You know, I'm just, I'm kind of leery of that, but you get kids that just aren't tall enough just to get up there on those. That's the problem.
Well, that's what you need one of those signs for. You must be this high to use the photo booth.
Jimmy, you're so much fun. He is so much fun. He makes it so much fun.
That's one way we deal with the kids in a way. Like, especially there's always that one kid that will come back over and over and try and take pictures by himself because he loves putting the dog face on him. And it's like, that gets a little much. So oftentimes we'll tell them they have to come back with a parent or something like that. And then they'll go back to get their parent. And the mom will say, no, we're done with the photo booth. We're eating. And then the kid won't come back or something like that. There or they will come back with a parent. And when they come with the parent can pick them up and hold them in the booth so that they're at the right height too. But.
Well, at weddings, a lot of times too, I don't open it up till, you know, usually about the dinner, sometimes the dinner hour, a little after. I'll open it after that. So the bride and groom can be the first one in there.
Sure.
I've had to learn by experience on that.
Yeah. Something we do. I don't know if they do it in your area. But by us, the photographers will always bring the bride and groom in right before, usually during cocktail hour for what they call room shots, where they'll take pictures of the bride and groom in the room with whatever up lighting once everything's all set. Usually we'll try and be in the room for that. And we'll talk to the bride and groom and say, hey, you know, you're going to be busy later. You're going to be saying hi to friends and family. We don't want you to go the whole night and forget to take a picture in the photo booth. You guys want to grab one now while you can, you know, and 9 out of 10 times they say, yeah, totally. They'll go in, they'll get a nice picture. They're not being harassed by Uncle Joe that's trying to photobomb them, stuff like that. And they can get a nice strip before the night starts, which is pretty cool too.
Okay. Yeah, that's a great suggestion there.
Yeah. I'll
have to follow up on that one, man. That's good. But I'm just trying to where I can bring the photo booth into, you know, the wedding setting that I'm used to doing and the agenda that I'm doing along with that is I'm just trying to figure out. I love tips if anybody's doing something that's working for them, because that's 90% of what we've booked out on the photo booth has been weddings. I've done one. We've done one baby shower. That was interesting. They had it for 2 hours and we arranged for them. They actually found the party props themselves and, for the baby shower. And that was interesting. Hmm. Yeah. That was, to say the least, that was kind of neat.
What about sweet 16s?
Haven't done. Yeah. Have you done any of those, Brandon?
Yes. I do a decent amount of sweet 16s. I've done some first birthdays, some barbecue stuff, like backyard parties. Those are tricky. Outside is very, very hard to work with lighting wise. And lighting and backdrop wise too. You got to put up like a blackout black drop behind your rather backdrop. So those are difficult. Sweet 16s are usually good because the kids are a little more mature than mitzvahs. Mitzvahs are crazy. I prefer not to do them.
Around here in the area, I actually go to school, Brandon. Around here in the area that we're in, we a lot of the sweet 16s, they usually always have a photo booth. Believe it or not. Like, I don't know if the Sweet 16s where you're from, they usually don't have photo booths or whatever, but around here they usually have a full photo booth and everything.
I've had them do selfies. I've had them do selfies in my photo booth before. What they had is they left the stuff they took on and did a selfie in it. I'm like, okay, each his own on it.
Yeah, with Sweet 16s, I find a lot of weddings want photo booths more than other parties, mostly because of their budget. Their budget usually allows for it. Sweet 16s and stuff, usually the parents aren't looking to spend as much money on their kid. So sometimes a full photo booth isn't really in their budget. So that's where I'm able to still sell them on something, whether it's the selfie station. You know, hey, it's a teen party. Everyone's got cell phones.
Yep.
Why don't you go with the selfie version? They could text and email it. They get it right away, and they have it digitally. They could share it with their friends on Facebook and Instagram, and it's kind of a win-win because Sweet 16s are usually when I find all the prints left on the tables, more so than weddings. Weddings, the families are going to take them home and hang them on their fridges. Sweet 16s, the girls aren't going to bring pictures home with the guys that they took pictures with and hang it on their mom's fridge. So they usually leave them at the party. But so I can usually sell them on that selfie booth. Or if I can't sell them with that and they still don't want to buy that, because everyone uses their cameras, I'll sell them with what I call like the grand entranceway or the Hollywood entrance. And I'll do a red carpet with stanchions and a step and repeat with the girl's name. And that's it. No photo booth, nothing. When the guests walk right into the room, they could take a nice picture with, you know, right in front of the backdrop. And that's it. And that's still, you know, a $300, $400 service. And there's no photo booth. There's no nothing involved, really.
That's what I'm doing.
So.
DJ Barr, Quinceañeras, photo booth, or are you just doing step and repeat?
No, well, I've never sold a photo booth ever. So, I don't know. I've been having a hard time. I've been trying to sell it, but I've never really sold it. I do step and repeat. I do okay with that, but again, it's not for everybody.
I figured, you know, I've seen some of your Quinceañeras and they're pretty high prop, you know. High-end affairs.
Some of your quinces, they're popping, man.
Yeah, I mean, crazy, like wedding budgets.
Yeah, but that's the thing with those quinces. It's like they're usually like they're gonna blow all their money on like a really nice venue, and then you know the girl's dress.
Yeah,
the girl's dress. That's the main thing, because if you see some of them, they're like these big like ball gowns and. It's a 15th birthday party, and I get you want to spoil your kid, but, like, you know.
Cool. Well, gang, it's about – we're almost at midnight East Coast time. We're going to have to wrap it up here.
Yeah.
Some of us need to get in and get to work for tomorrow, so – Brandon, Barr, David, Rick, Jimmy, Stan, Scott, Howie. Howie's in the middle right now, so he's
Alice.
And there's Alice. There's more of you on YouTube, another 30 of you out there. Thank you for being with us tonight.
Thank you so much, Brandon. Excellent stuff.
Brandon, appreciate it. Good, a lot of information.
Good.
Thanks, guys.
And thanks for tuning in, being part of the discussion.
Yeah, and we'll be back tomorrow. Let's see, what is tomorrow? Tomorrow's Wednesday. Yeah, we've got some more shows. Up later tonight, there's going to be the Newly Ben Stowe game. Instead of Newlywed Game, the Newly Ben Stowe. It was editing this afternoon. The problem with it was that I didn't realize that we shot it in 4K. And nice. It took hours to edit and export that 4K. I thought it would be done by 5 o'clock. We were going to run it at 7:30 tonight. It was still editing or still exporting when I came out here. So tomorrow morning, I'm going to put it in tomorrow's shows, the link in there that I'll put on my Facebook page. So you'll have our Wednesday shows plus this Ben Stowe. What it was a game show we did with his staff to see how well they knew Ben Stowe, like the Newlywed Game. We gave them a question, Ben answered it, and they answered it, and some of them were pretty enlightening, we'll put it that way.
There was no make whoopee questions, though,
no,
right?
No, everything is John friendly, so we'll just leave it at that. We don't get carried away. So
shoe game questions almost.
No, they weren't shoe game questions. They were
not shoe game questions, though.
Yeah, most of the people don't remember that. And this, you know, they were too young to see that.
Though these were very, very nice, questions that they answered and had some fun with and such. So it will be good once you get that up. So I'm hoping that when I go in, it'll be ready to upload, and then I can make it go live. And then tomorrow, you guys will get a link. So.
Are we off the air right?
We are not off the air yet. I'm trying to get the close done so then I can get us off the air so I can shut the YouTube down. So once again, thank you for watching. We'll be back Wednesday with more shows. Thanks.
Tonight's DJ and TV show is sponsored in part by Electro Voice, DJ Event Planner, ADJ, NLFX Professional, Promo Only, Newmark, and DJ and TV Insider.